Today on Life Talk.
Chronic, untreatable, or long-term pain often gives way to despair. And despair decimates our hope. And folks, you can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without hope. As soon as you lose your hope, you lose life. There's no reason to get up, no reason to do anything, no reason to roll out of bed in the morning if there's no hope.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
The Bible says regarding the children of Israel's journey through the wilderness, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So God has made the provision of wisdom available to you and me for our own wilderness experiences straight from His Word. In our last few times together, we've been studying the journey God's people made through the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. We've looked at how their experience mirrors what our wilderness experiences look like in a spiritual sense. We've studied the wilderness of want, the wilderness of loneliness, the wilderness of trouble, the wilderness of betrayal, and today I want to look at the wilderness of pain. We see that the children of Israel experienced the pain of thirst, the pain of difficult surroundings, and the pain of God's judgment. Perhaps you're experiencing this kind of wilderness. You're hurting either physically, emotionally, or spiritually. God may seem very far away. I believe today's message is going to greatly encourage you. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, The Wilderness of Pain, from our series, Wilderness Wanderings.
Clearly, the great apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew all about pain and suffering. Paul did. Back in chapter 11, he describes being shipwrecked and spending 24 hours floating around in the depths of the ocean, just hanging on to a piece of wreckage that broke off the boat. Something else. He knew what it was to be whipped five times with 39 lashes. Our Lord was whipped once with 39 lashes, took him within an inch of his life. Paul the Apostle experienced that same whipping with 39 lashes five times in his life. If you looked at his back, it looked like a road map of scars. He knew what it was to be beaten with rods like canes three times. He knew what it was to be in a stinking, filthy jail and to eat the putrid, stinking food that prisoners in that day were given. Worms, flies, rotted, stale. He knew what it was to be stoned and left for dead. Where people actually, when he finally came to consciousness, there was nobody there. They'd all walked away because they assumed he was dead. He'd been stoned so badly. But God raised him up. He knew all about physical pain and suffering. Paul did. He knew what it was to be put in the stocks. Paul knew all about physical suffering. But he also knew about emotional suffering, which I kind of wonder which is worse, physical or emotional. No suffering was so severe to Paul, I believe, as I read the word, as was the care of all the churches. It says, he confesses when the church was weak, he felt the weakness in his own heart. Let me quote it. When they fell into sin, he burned inside. He wrote these words, "Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble into sin, and I do not burn with indignation?" It's very clear to me that for Paul, people inflicted the greatest pain in an emotional heartbreak kind of way. They all walked away, left me to face Caesar and my fate alone. No one stood with me. But then he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me and empowered me to preach the word. But none of the people stood with him. Over and over again, false teachers would attack the churches that Paul had birthed, and they would listen to the false teachers. And on top of that, when they endeared themselves to these false teachers, they also drifted away from Paul and criticized him, maligned him, rejected, and slandered the father of their faith. And he felt the pain of this. You can hear it. He said, I love you. The more I love you, the less you love me back. That's what he said. Let me give you a fact. This isn't news to you. But people can disappoint. They can reject. They can abuse. They can fail. They can wound. They can betray. They can turn on the ones who love them the most. Sometimes the people you help the most are the ones that hurt you the worst. As a matter of fact, those that get the closest to you have the greatest power to really stick the knife in and turn the handle. If the devil can't defeat you, he'll defeat somebody whose defeat defeats you. And let me put it another way. If the devil can't hurt you, he'll hurt somebody whose hurt hurts you. Yet, here's what I see. Whether Paul's pain was emotional or physical, we see that he found strength in his deepest pain. I'm going to say that again. He found strength in his deepest pain. What would have taken any other man out did not take Paul out, because he knew the Lord and drew from his strength. That's why the wilderness of pain is one of the most troubling, if not the most troubling, of all the wilderness experiences we can go through. Because here's why: chronic, untreatable, or long-term pain often gives way to despair. And despair decimates our hope. And folks, you can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without hope. As soon as you lose your hope, you lose life. There's no reason to get up, no reason to do anything, no reason to roll out of bed in the morning if there's no hope. And chronic, long-term pain tends to attack our hope. So this message is not on how to avoid pain, because I can't preach on how to avoid pain, because you can't avoid pain. It can't be done. I want to look instead at two things concerning pain: how God works in it and how to respond to it. Because we're all going to have pain, but here's the decider of where your future goes: how you respond to that pain. So I want to look at first how God uses our pain. First, and this is straight out of the Bible, I can't do any better than the Bible. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about pain. First, we learn the power of his word in our pain. Did you ever notice that nothing drives us into the word of God like pain? You know, I can look back in my life and I can tell you the times that I grew the fastest and grew the most and my roots went deepest is when I was in pain. Listen to the psalmist and what he wrote. Psalms 119, verse 67, David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Now listen to the message. I had to use the Message Bible here because it's good. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I wandered all over the place, but now I'm in step with your word." In other words, the pain drove him into the word and drove him into obedience. So he is telling us here, I grew in the midst of my pain. Look what it says in Psalms 119, verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word in my affliction has given me life." Do you hear there that he was discovering something about the power of the word of God? In this word, there is life. Amen. Can you hold your Bible up and just say with me, "In this word, there is life"? Let me get you to quote Jesus with me. Hold your Bible up and say this with me. Jesus said, "The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Give the Lord a hand of praise. Isn't that good? In verse 71 of the same chapter, he says, "My suffering was good for me. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees," or your word. In every one of these passages, notice with me, we find David testifying how suffering was the catalyst that led him to discover the power of the word of God. He says that his pain motivated him to greater discipline in plumbing the depths of the scriptures. In his pain, he discovered that God's word literally injected him with life, that he could turn to the word in his pain, and the word gave him a jolt of life in the midst of suffering, and it brought him comfort. He testified that his suffering worked for his good in that it motivated him to toe the line with God's word. So in his pain, David learned the power of God's word. So his pain worked out for his good. Now, I don't know where you're hurting today. Some of you have a broken heart. Some of you have been betrayed. Some of you are lonely. Some of you have needs, and it seems like there's no answer. Some of you have physical pain, and you've gone to this doctor and that doctor, and you don't know what to do, where to go. Your money is almost gone. Your insurance will no longer cover it. You're in pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, and you wonder, what is the answer? Well, I'm going to tell you, part of the answer is let your pain drive you into the Word. The second thing I see about pain from the Bible is our deepest life messages are born out of our pain. If you've been at Turning Point Church for very long, you've heard me brag on the power of God's Word over and over and over again. You're hardly ever here on a Sunday or a Wednesday, I'm not bragging on this Word, right? Amen? You hear it all the time. I do it all the time. I tell you that it's without error. I tell you that it's a book unlike any other book. I tell you that it's the only book on earth that didn't come from earth. I tell you that it's supernatural. I tell you that it is a healing word. I tell you that it's a strengthening word. I tell you that it's an empowering word. And not to mention the Word of God, but the God who gave us the Word. He sent His Word and healed them. And I can tell you today that all those statements I'm always giving you about the Word of God came straight out of the crucible of my own pain. When I came to Jesus, I came out of the hippie movement. I came out of the drug culture. Unfortunately, I was right there, ripe for the picking when the drug culture swept America and the hippie movement and all that stuff. And I went right in full steam, totally sold out to it, and I went into drugs. And you never go into drugs without suffering deep consequences. Because drugs are the gateway to hell. Drugs are the gateway to demonism. Drugs are the gateway to satanic harassment and oppression. And that's what happened to me. And when I came to Jesus sitting in a juvenile detention center jail. And when I came to Him, my soul was saved. But I got to tell you, my mind was damaged. I was full of irrational fears. I was very confused. I couldn't think about any one thing for very long at all. My mind was like scrambled eggs. It was a mess. And so my soul was saved, but my mind needed to be renewed. And I didn't know how to deal with all the fears and all the damage I'd done to my mind. And one day I was very, very desperate because every day, each and every day, I was haunted with fears. I was paralyzed with fear and confusion. And even when I started preaching and teaching the Word of God, I had these issues in my mind. And one day I just said, Lord, I've got to have some help. I don't know what to do. And I was listening to somebody teach, and they quoted this word. They quoted the Psalms in Psalms 19. And they said this, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. And the Holy Ghost took that verse, and man, He flew it into my heart. It rattled my cage. It woke me up because I knew soul means mind, will, and emotions. So the Word of God, I want you to say it with me. The Word of God is perfect, healing my mind, restoring my mind. When something is restored, it's taken from a bad condition to an original condition.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
And so He restored. So I heard that verse and I said, that's God's answer to me. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to memorize large portions of the Word of God. I'm going to put so much Word in me, the devil's not going to have any room to torment me anymore. And so I started memorizing whole Psalms. I memorized the entire Sermon on the Mount, which I'm going to be teaching on in a couple of weeks. I memorized the entire Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. I memorized the entire book of James, all five chapters. All day long, I washed my brain with the Word of God. You could say I got real brainwashed. And I began to see something, that the more of the Bible that I memorized, the more I meditated on, the more I read it, the more peace came to my mind, the clearer my thinking became. Until one day I woke up and said, praise God, the fear is gone. I'm no longer confused. I'm thinking straight. I was able to go through a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctor's degree, thinking straight. And see, in that experience, I was introduced to the power of God's Word. So that's why I'm always standing up and telling you, this is a supernatural book. This is not like any other book. This word will heal you. This word will fix you. This word will take you from A to Z. This word reveals the God of the universe, the God of the ages. This word will read your mail and sort it out for you. The word of the Lord is perfect, restoring the mind. So our deepest, and that became one of my life messages. That's why you hear it all the time. A life message is something that God has shown you over and above almost everything else. Talk to somebody who was healed of cancer and see if that was not their life message. My God can heal. Talk about somebody who was delivered from some terrible addiction and their life message is, greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. And for me, it was the power of the Word of God. When I get into this book every morning, I can't wait. Because when I open it, I know it is the God who made the universe talking straight to me. And I've noticed when I preach it, people come to Jesus. Because there is power in the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is what we live by. So when I know there's a purpose in my pain, I can endure it. If I can see God's hand in my circumstances like I did back then, I can go through anything. God was just saying to me, Jeff, I know you messed yourself up, but get into my word and I'm going to heal you. I'm going to show you the power of my word to heal a mind. And so when I saw God's hand in my circumstances, that he didn't leave me alone in my pain, that he wanted to redeem my pain, he wanted to work something good through my pain. And when I see that, I can go through anything. But if I don't see a purpose in it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to squander my suffering. I'll never profit from my problems. I'll never learn from my losses. And I'll never grow from my adversity or gain anything from my pain. Can I tell you something about God? God never wastes your pain. God never wastes a pain. If it's given over to him, when was the last time it occurred to you to say, God, I've given you my life. I've given you everything in my life. But you know what, Lord? I'm specifically going to give you my pain. And I'm asking you to redeem my pain and work through it somehow, some way to the glory of God. This is where Israel blew it in the wilderness. As I said, they complained in their pain, murmured, accused God, pouted, had pity parties. But they never learned to see God's purpose in their pain. And God was trying to talk to them every day. But they didn't hear it. Did you ever stop to think that God didn't even spare Jesus from pain? It says in the Bible, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In the same way, listen, Jesus challenges people like you and me, his people, his children, to use our pain to draw closer to God. There's an old saying, the same sun that melts butter hardens clay. Some people go through pain and it hardens them against God. And they say, I want nothing to do with you. You're going to let me hurt like this. I'm out of here. And it hardens their heart. But other people, when they hurt, they melt towards God. And when you melt towards God, he picks you up in his nail-scarred hands and he begins to work and mold and shape and redeem that pain, that when you come out on the other side, I'm jumping ahead of myself. That's my last point. But just think, Jesus always said, let God use your pain. He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What did he say? Go off and lick your wounds and have a pity party and wallow in your pain? No, he said, rejoice. and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus taught us to let pain work to our gain. A third and last thing about the wilderness of pain is this one. God literally recycles our pain. Now, most of you, if you're living in the city, then the city has given you a trash can, a garbage can. It's called recycling. Recycling only. Now, it took Kathy a year to train me to follow it because I hated it. And she would go in there and have to empty out stuff that I threw in it that wasn't recyclable. And she would get on me every time. What are you doing throwing this in here? I said, it doesn't really matter. She said, it does matter because they're going to recycle some things to be used again. I am a natural rebel. I didn't want to use it. I didn't want to do it. I guess because the city wanted me to do it. And I don't believe in all that recycling stuff sometimes. But the fact of the matter is this. Some of the things we throw away that we think are trash is not trash. It's somebody else's blessing down the road once it's recycled. And God recycles your pain. I said, God recycles your pain. What you think is trash and really painful and you want to forget and you want to get rid of and you want to move on from and you want to just throw it away as being useless, God says, no, I don't waste your pain. I'm going to take what you go through and I'm going to recycle it and it's going to bless somebody else down the road. Listen to what he said. He said in 2 Corinthians 1:4, he comforts us in all of our troubles. He comforts us in all of our troubles. So that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Jesus, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. Do you see the way Paul is seeing this? It is totally redemptive. He said, we got all kinds of troubles and pain. But we know it's all going to get recycled. And it's going to end up blessing you, the church. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will turn around and we will comfort you with the same comforts wherewith we have been comforted by God. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. So let me put it this way. Somebody is waiting on the other side of your pain. Somebody is there and God is looking at the pain you're going through right now. And he's not seeing it the way the flesh sees it. It's not a woe is me, and it's not a, oh, what a waste, and it's not a, oh, that's just, I mean, sure, he feels for us. And yes, he has empathy and sympathy as one who suffered as well. But here's the way he's seeing it. If you respond to me the way I'm calling you to, respond to my grace in your pain, I'm going to redeem it, and I'm going to recycle it. And you're going to find that somebody, somewhere, someday, some way down the road is going to come up to you and say, man, I am really hurting. I'm about to give up. I'm about to walk away. I don't know what to do. I am in despair. And you who have been through it and been comforted by God are going to give to them recycled comfort, recycled faith. God recycles pain by taking what we learn and channeling it to bless others. I've noticed that whenever I go through anything painful, it makes me more empathetic. It makes me more sympathetic. When you suffer with others who suffer. When you hurt, you end up having a special ability to go up to somebody else hurting and saying, I feel, without being sarcastic, I feel your pain. And we are able to go and be the hand of Jesus, the eyes of Jesus, the word of Jesus to hurting people, because he took our pain and he recycled it. So there is hope in pain. So I want you to say with me, don't waste your pain. Let God heal it, recycle it, utilize it, and use it to bless other people.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.